You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
JazzCast Pros.
All of our struggles are radical, revolutionary struggles, in the sense that you can't change our conditions without fundamentally changing America. And hence the Republican and right-wing agenda. So I think it was a combination of all of these things with this young man's hatred interwoven with the political agenda. This is a part of what I believe is an actual war between the ideology of Trumpites and the Republican Party and the ideology of progressives. I think this country has two visions of the type of America that it wants to build, and that kumbaya and bringing the country together is kind of silly talk. And we'll have to think more in terms of how do we defeat this right-wing white supremacy movement and preserve the democracy that we know and expand and develop that democracies in ways that we have never done before.
Good day, everyone. This is Pastor George Nicholas, and this is the Igniting Hope podcast. And we're coming to you from the Buffalo Center for Health Equity. And if you have any questions or need any information about any of our work that we're doing or any of the other podcasts, just go on to buffalohealthequity.org, buffalohealthequity.org, and you'll get all the information that you will need. You know, we're really dedicated to working on creating a community, whereas your race, your ethnicity, specifically if you're African-American, does not determine your health outcome in a negative way. And so today is our first podcast since the horrific murder of our lovely brothers and sisters. And I want to just read their names real quickly, because we always want to keep them in our remembrance. And every time we speak their names, it gives life once again. Roberta Drury. It was only 32 years of age. Marcus Morrison, only 52. Andre McNeil, 53. Aaron Salter, who was a law enforcement officer, 55. Geraldine Talley, 62. Celestine Cheney, 65 years of age. Haywood Patterson, 67. Catherine Massey, 72. Pearl Young, 77, and Sister Ruth Whitfield, 86. And so please, friends, always keep them in the front of your memory and your front of your understanding. We will not let their deaths be in vain. So one of the things we want to talk about today is the setting, the community. So it's easy to look at this event as just kind of this one runoff event of a person who was filled with hate, anger, and rage, and committed this heinous act. But if you're simplistic in your understanding, or if you're simplistic of your description, you'll miss the important lessons that we have to learn from these situations so that we can prevent them. Clearly, this young man was deeply influenced by white supremacist ideology and specific replacement theory, which is really rooted in a lot of things that we see in the United States of America. And the data shows that this replacement theory, which talks about, you know, people of color replacing whites and white men in particular in their role in our society, that about 32% of Americans subscribe to this, believe that there's some legitimacy, 32%. So that's not a fringe group. you would define that as a constituency. So today we want to talk a little bit with Dr. Henry Lewis Taylor, who was one of the leading scholars. I hate when people say he's one of the leading Black scholars. No, he's a leading scholar at the University of Buffalo, but has done a lot of work around issues as relates to the Black community. Most recently, the work, The Harder We Run, that looks at just the racial residential segregation that's occurred in the city of Buffalo over the past, since about historically before 1990, but really looking in a more concentrated way in 1990 up into to the present. And so we want to talk a little bit today about the environment of this country and this environment of this community that made Buffalo such an easy target for this action. And then how should we respond as a community? What is it, the fact that this grocery store was shuttered and it created such turmoil in community, that speaks to a lot of things. So, this is our first podcast since this event. And so, Dr. Taylor, why don't you just share a little bit with the group today just about your thoughts about what actually happened and some of the motivators, some of the drivers that were operating on this young man before when he took those actions.
Thank you very much, Pastor George. The first thing I always say was, who was he really? I think we need to reject the theory that he was just some lone gunman, all angry and mad. When I first heard about the case, there were certain things that did not make sense. For example, he said that Buffalo was the most concentrated community within close to his home. That just isn't true. He was the same distance from the New York City in Harlem that he was from the Top Store. Takes the same amount of time to drive to those locations and places. The Rochester population is fairly concentrated, and they have almost as many Black people as the city of Buffalo. There's some 82,000 Blacks in Rochester. And according to 2020 census records, our numbers have dropped to a little under 90,000. So I think Buffalo becomes the target because we are a nationally prominent small community, but a community with a very politically conscious and aggressive African-American population. And I think that the timing of this attack was closely, almost eerily associated with the midterm elections that we're dealing with now. So I think there's a strong association between this shooter, the anti-race, critical race theory movement, and efforts around the country to suppress Black voters. And if you shoot up a grocery store, and that was a break from the normal pattern. Most attacks on Black people occur in the churches, but they chose a supermarket, which is a way of saying secular gathering places are not safe in your community. The final thing I want to say on that is because of the horrendous conditions of life that African Americans face, all of our struggles are radical, revolutionary struggles. In the sense that you can't change our conditions without fundamentally changing America. And hence, the Republican and right-wing agenda cannot be realized if African Americans represent this critical voting bloc and that is consistently advocating progressive changes. So I think it was a combination of all of these things with this young man's hatred interwoven with the political agenda. And as the data continues to come out, it points more and more in that direction. For example, some of the latest reports says that this person he called the Sandman was a prime advisor, and that there were at least about six people that he was in constant communications with, including a couple of people who were law enforcement officers.
Federal law enforcement officers.
Absolutely. So this is a part of what I believe is an actual war between the ideology of Trumpites and the Republican Party and the ideology of progressives. I think this country has two visions of the type of America that it wants to build. And that kumbaya and bringing the country together is kind of silly talk. And we'll have to think more in terms of how do we defeat this right-wing white supremacy movement and preserve the democracy that we know and expand and develop that democracy in ways that we have never done before.
The power of propaganda. One of the things that we see and I won't even say it really started with Fox News, but Fox News took it to another level. But you go back to like Rush Limbaugh, right? And how, you know, this guy is just a virulent racist. He was promoted really white supremacist ideology and was able to, you know, speak to millions of people on a daily basis with this constant drip of this white supremacy ideology. And then with the emergence of Fox News and its constant, again, just shaping these just very racist ideologies, right? But packaging in a slick way. So when you look at the combination of that and then, you know, the emergence of the internet and how it's so unregulated in so many ways. So you have these this combination of what Limbaugh was doing, moving into, you know, the emergence of a whole television network, Fox News, and now, you know, with the internet and all these other things. Can you talk a little bit about how powerful propaganda and rhetoric is in terms of the influencing the thinking of the general public?
I think we're in the midst of a cultural war that centers around this propaganda and the messaging that you made reference to. And at the backdrop of that, Pastor George, is this neoliberal knowledge economy simply is not capable of absorbing most workers. It just isn't. And as a consequence, it has created enormous precarity in the lives of all American workers, white ones, black ones, across the color board, although it's hitting us harder than anybody else. And by that precarity, I'm talking specifically about the rise of the gig economy. Lots of people are working multiple jobs just to make it in. The rise of what we call lifestyle businesses. People can't get a steady and stable job, so they just go into business for themselves because business is so volatile on an ongoing basis. And you can lose your job at the drop of a hat. Somebody lose a contract. Something else occurs and something else happens. So the American people, for the last two decades, have been searching for answers. Will you explain this to me? What is going on? And you can kind of see that in the character of your prime presidential candidates over that period of time. I mean, like you had a black guy. You had a woman that almost got there. Then you had a socialist. Then a right-wing populist, and now you got an old guy in the White House. And what that says is that people are searching for answers. So the right wing believes that white workers that are part of the faith community, now you got two kinds of faith communities, Pastor George. You have some people who are armed with faith, but they read a lot. So they have secular knowledge to kind of balance the faith. But then you have faith-based people that don't read anything. And faith is about believing in something that cannot be proven. You can't prove or disprove that God exists. You have faith in that. You can't prove or disprove that there is a heaven. You have faith in that. So when you grab this population where it's all about faith, and they believe and have faith that their leaders are telling them the truth, you have a very, very dangerous, dangerous situation. And this new right-wing movement has carried that, led by Donald Trump. They have carried that to a completely new level. It's at the same kind of level that Hitler was able to manage it back in the 1930s. We have not reached that level yet. But when you understand what critical race, anti-critical race theory, that's about censoring everything that you would normally know and replacing it with a lie. And so there are thousands, man, of these shooters, like the shooter that came to Buffalo. I don't call his name for the very reason that we call our people's names. But the shooter, there are lots of them being grown, being developed. And I believe they now constitute a white nationalist underground army existing in small cells and small collectives, disassociated from the power structures and their leadership, but operating in harmony, designed to promote and lay the foundation for the triumph of that ideology. This movement has been growing. You were right about Rush Limbaugh being one of the forerunners. Donald Trump took it to a completely new level. And on the flip side of that, our greatest danger stems from the kind of cowardness and wimpishness of the liberal Democrat. So I think we're in a very dangerous moment of time. And I think that it may well be that the Democrats lose a lot of seats in this midterm elections to the Republican Party. And it could well be that we might even lose the presidency and be in a very bad situation with Republicans controlling the White House and both sides of Congress.
I like how you wove in the notion of faith, because the Christian church has been one of the great purveyors of white supremacy, right? The ideology of white supremacy. And it's been used as a great tool of trying to weave in, you know, nationalism and gun ownership and some type of a biblical narrative that is just completely, it's ridiculous. Right. But it's something that is very, very pervasive, and it helps influence a great deal of white people who, as you say, are trying to wrestle with their own economic insecurities, right? And it gives some convenient targets, immigrants, homosexuals, you know, all these other people of color. And it really creates this complete dissonance that we have operating in our culture. What our lies are perceived as truth, and what is truth is perceived to be as illegal,
right?
And the Black church has been lulled to sleep. You know, there was a time where the Black church was, you know, really strong, promoting the social gospel, liberation theology, you know, and really, you know, understanding that the importance of, yes, preaching salvation, baptism, Lord's Supper, and all the things of the Christian faith, but also recognizing that that God is a God of the oppressed, and that we ought to make sure that our faith, as you say, is rooted in that. But we've fallen into the trap of prosperity theology, which has basically stolen the soul out of the Black church. And it makes it so difficult now for the Black church to be the kind of prophetic voice against these types of attacks upon, not only attacks upon Black people, but attacks upon truth and attacks upon what's right. So and so instead of being up your prophetic voice and saying, well, wait a second, this is just, it's out, it's not right. We've been lulled into these calls for unity and all this other stuff. But you can't unite with someone who is trying to destroy your very existence, right? And this is what this battle is. It's not about, I mean, it's played out in the political world. It's played out in these other spaces. But be very clear, this notion about white supremacy is really a battle about our existence as African people living in this republic, right? And whether or not we have the right to even exist in our own humanity, right? And so these cells, as you're talking about, Dr. Taylor, they're very well organized. Western New York is a hotbed. It's an area where there's lots of growth in those areas. And so we have to be much more realistic and sophisticated and understand, you know, what they're trying to do to us.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And one of the things that concerns me the most now centers around the shooter, who I think is a foot soldier for the right wing that's tied back to Fox News and the Republican Party, is to kind of portray that guy as this lone wolf, just simply full of hate. And the kind of things are mentally ill. I listened to a program by the surgery department, and some folks were claiming he was mentally ill. And my view is that if you look at the history of terrorism and Blacks in America, white people have been terrorizing Blacks since the day we got off the boat. And with the mass lynching that was occurring and people gathered around singing and dancing while a Black man is burning to death, that's not mental illness. That is a culture of racism that devalues, you know, Black life. There are two fundamentally different and warring visions of America, probably three. And the vision held by the right, there's no collaboration on that. There's no compromise on that. And if you look at the red states that are the strongest, that's the whole South. I mean, that ideology has been rooted in this country for centuries, and it's not going to go away. To me, it's important that we cast away our illusions and prepare for the long battle ahead. On the one hand, the fight to end our oppression and exploitation. And on the other hand, the battle against this right wing that is seeking to control, this country, which is going to take us into, I'm sorry to say, some fights with the liberal Democrats. Because the liberal Democrats, I mean, in Buffalo, we've had 26 consecutive, now counting, years of liberal Democratic rule, including Democratic rule by a Black man whose name I won't call, but I think everybody knows who it is. And we can't shy away from that. And I don't think in this moment can we allow people to pull us away from our focus on root causes, because other attacks won't change the realities of Black people.
This is an Igniting Hope podcast. This is Pastor George Nicholas, your host, and I'm here with Dr. Henry Taylor from the University of Buffalo, our resident scholar for our community. And we're talking about the aftermath of the massacre of our 10 beautiful brothers and sisters who should be listening to this podcast. We talk, Dr. Taylor and I talking about something else. But, the violence that's been pervasive in this republic since this republic existed. It was built on violence. It's built on terrorism. The gun is a symbol of European colonialism. And it's just so, so sad. The single most important thing on the political side in this country right now, in my opinion, especially at the federal level, is voting rights. And if you start thinking about that, there's kind of an interesting duality in the South where at one level, it's that hotbed of conservatism. However, these people could easily be defeated because there's huge black populations in these states. I mean, you know, you're talking about states like Kentucky and Alabama. And you saw what happened in Georgia when people got registered to vote. South Carolina, you kidding me? You know what I mean? And so voter suppression and the denying of the franchise of American citizens of the African descent is the number one thing that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris should be tackling in this country. And I found I was left wanting when the president came to Buffalo, and I respect and honor the fact of his compassion, and there's no doubt that he's a very compassionate man, but I'm always thinking about the office, Dr. T. I'm never thinking about the individual. I'm thinking about the office, right? It's like, what can you do, right? And I understand that Vice President Harris is supposed to be coming to Sister Whitfield's funeral. And I just pray that they make a declarative statement about making sure that this federal government will make sure that every person in this republic that is eligible to vote has the opportunity to do that. Because that is the only way that we could stop this rush, this wave of right-wing conservatism, which is really just another word of talking about of white supremacy. And so how come this is not what we're demanding of the federal government to do, especially from the White House, right? That whatever it takes, we got to make sure that we have voting rights secured.
Yeah, I think two things are operative. One is I think you're absolutely right about the president coming to town and telling us how sad he is and offering us his comfort when we don't need that. We need you to commit to doing something in a very specific way. If you want to help Buffalo, can you commit some dollars down here? And at the national level, the voter Registration Act is absolutely essential. We have to be able to protect Black voters. But I'm not sure that the masses of our people or even the Democrats understand fully the significance of this war that we're fighting. Too many liberal Democrats continue to talk about love and forgiveness and why can't we all get along, like Rodney King said years ago, rather than to understanding that the Republican Party and the national conservatives have now understood that the visions are irreconcilable and different. And ironically, this is a worldwide movement. It's not just here in the United States. And that's why Putin and Donald Trump, you know, they both have the same philosophical view and nationalism. And in this country, white nationalism drives that. So I don't think there's a clear understanding. I think a part of the problem of the Democratic Party is they've always been, the liberal Democrat is a metaphor for cowardness. They don't fight, man. They just don't. And they're quick to cave in and quick to try to find compromise and quick not to take advantage and use their bully pulpit. I mean, Biden, you almost don't even know he exists. He never says anything. And I think the other side of it is that there's a significant number of people who believe that their vote won't change their lives. And so they're not interested in participating. And they've gotten to a point where they no longer want to be voting to stop something. Stop this, stop Trump, stop the right, stop the takeover. They want to be voting for a future that ties some things to that. So going forward, no matter what happens in this thing, that we must organize and develop an electoral strategy, that we have to fight to get progressive people in office, and that we have to recognize that this is a very dangerous moment in time, and we simply cannot leave politics to the liberal Democrats and the conservatives.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor. This has been a great podcast. I want you to come back soon because I really want us to unpack the impact of what happened at that TOPS, why it created so much instability in the community, and then how do we respond in terms of we can't just, you know, this is an opportunity for us to do something different over there that could impact the community. So I want to have you come back and let's just unpack that, because I think that's a very, very important conversation that we need to have. But our time for this podcast has come to its end. This is Pastor George Nicholas for your Igniting Hope podcast, coming to you from the Buffalo Center for Health Equity, buffalohealthequity.org. If you want more information about what we're doing, we're going to have an exciting Igniting Hope conference in August. So we'll be next week, we'll start talking about that and start promoting that. And we're going to have a really good community gathering and really begin to start working on really not only coming up with community solutions, but implementing those to build the kind of community of care that I think we all desire to live in. So until our next time, please know that we love you. We care about you. Please care about each other. Let's show those who believe that we're not capable of working together, that we don't have the capacity to come up with good ideas that are in our own best interest. Let's show them that they are liars, and let's do the things that are going to make our community the beloved community that I know we all desire to live in. So thank you once again. This is Pastor George Nicholas signing off.
Card from Capital One gives you more of what you love, like premium travel benefits and access to Taylor Swift tickets. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. Plus, get access to Taylor Swift The Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Maybe I'll see you there. The Venture X Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
At Start With Sleep, the parent company to the Does, we're looking to simplify the process of getting you consistent and better sleep. So we're excited to unveil a unique approach to home sleep testing as part of our new model. Our unique device, unlike traditional options, can be used for up to 28 days. It's a convenient, easy-to-use, and wallet-friendly option. Plus, we deliver it free, right to your doorstep with free returns. No more back and forth to doctor's appointments. Also, if you have a sleep disorder, we provide remote appointments that fit your schedule with no travel needed. A prescription for therapy is also provided without the need to spend multiple nights in a sleep lab. Last, it's a great tool for gaining actionable insights on how to improve your sleep. Visit us at startwithsleep.com to schedule yours today.